The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. It is a beautiful Wednesday morning in Texarkana, Texas. It's been cold. It was really cold yesterday in Texarkana. And today's warmed up a little bit, still brisk. Feels good for a December 10th morning. And we're looking forward to a great night at First Baptist Texarkana. You know, Wednesday's a big night for us. We have lots of things going on at the church, and tonight is going to be a special night as we have our library open house. We do it every Christmas, and we have our kitchen makes lots of sweet treats for the kids and wassail for the adults and the sweet treats for the adults. And then we have a book signing, and I've been involved with Thomas Nelson and lots of other pastors, scores of other pastors, where we put together a daily devotional. I think this is our ninth one. The Heart, God's Home is the title of this one. And so I wrote two weeks of devotionals in that. So we have a book signing. And then we're doing a Q&A. I've done this two or three times at First Baptist Texarkana. It's just ask me anything. You know, we do that oftentimes on Real Truth for Today. I invite you to call in to talk about what we've talked about during the program, but also just any question that you might have about Scripture, about the Christian life, about a sticky situation in your life. What would God have me to do? That kind of thing. I definitely don't have all the answers, but I look to the Lord to provide a solid biblical theological answer. And so that's going to be tonight at First Baptist Texarkana. If you live anywhere near the area, I'd love for you to come out, and you're always welcome. It's a joy for me to get to meet you. And I wanted to say this. We're waiting for my guest, Rod Martin, to come on the program, and we're going to talk about things going on in our country. I've entitled this program, Tipping in the Wrong Direction. You know, we talked about the tipping point, President Trump said just a week or so ago that America was at the tipping point. Which way are we going to go? Well, it sadly looks like, now obviously this is a day-to-day thing, but it looks like some things are tipping in the wrong direction. The election we lost in Virginia, as far as conservatives lost, Virginia went Democrat, New Jersey went Democrat, Mamdani was voted in, the Muslim socialist was voted in as the mayor of New York, the largest city in America. That's not good. And now Miami voted for a Democrat over a Republican conservative. So it seems like we're tipping in the wrong direction. I to set this up with my friend Rod Martin, who's been on this program numerous times, great insights on things. Rod is a philosopher, capitalist, anti-communist. I love that. That's in his bio. And part of the team that started PayPal. But to set everything up, Ezekiel chapter 18, beginning in verse 29. But the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not right. Are my ways not right, O house of Israel? Is it not your ways that are not right? Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, each according to his conduct, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn away from all your transgressions, so that iniquity may not become a stumbling block to you. Cast away from you all your transgressions which you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord God. Therefore, repent and live. Well, we know anything done in America politically is a Band-Aid. What America needs is to repent and to let God heal our land. But some of the Band-Aid things are important. And to help me with this discussion, tipping in the wrong direction, is my friend Rod Martin. Rod, welcome to the program.
Good to be here.
Well, you got the hat on today, so it must have been a bad hair day.
Something like that. Certainly a bad Miami day. And this is an appropriate hat for Miami, and we have to reflect on what did and didn't happen there. You know, the Band-Aids matter. The Band-Aids matter a lot. God rewards faithfulness. God punishes iniquity. And it may seem a little uneven from our point of view. It may not happen all at once. You know, the children of Israel would go sometimes 80 years between judges in that era and not necessarily see the consequences of their actions until it became extremely acute and they needed a deliverance. But the truth is, Christians need to take seriously obedience. You know, the Lord himself says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. And none of us can do that perfectly. And if he did not perfectly keep them for us, we would have no hope of heaven. But that doesn't change the fact that if you love the Lord, you want to do what he wants. You want to act right, just like you do for your parents. And when America doesn't act right, as is always the case somewhere to some degree, there are consequences for that. And we should never, ever miss that point.
Rod, it was something that bothers me. You know, America, we've had the dumbing down of America now for a long time in the school system. I mean, you have people that graduate high school that don't know grammar at all. They don't know anything about geography. They really don't know anything about American history. That's one of the big things that has been left out of schools. They don't know about the Constitution. E.W. Jackson, my good friend, the Bishop E.W. Jackson, Harvard-trained lawyer, he said in Harvard Law School, he said, we didn't even read the Constitution. We talked about it, but we never were assigned to read it. I don't know about your training at Baylor Law School. Did you guys read the Constitution?
Well, Baylor was better, but that was kind of considered to be something you should have done in American national government as an undergraduate. And we had an outstanding constitutional law professor when I was there, Professor David Gwynn, you know, very famous in certain circles. He did a masterful job, and I don't want to take anything from that. But no, if you came to law school, as many did, without actually having an understanding of the Constitution and its genesis, you weren't going to get it there. You were going to get an introduction to how case law has since interpreted it, which just completely scoots past the idea of original intent. And again, Professor Gwynn was all about original intent. So it's not that he was you know, teaching us Marxism or something. It's just it was assumed you'd already gotten that. And the truth is, most of our students haven't gotten that. They didn't take those classes in college. If they did, they took them from a Marxist. And they probably didn't have civics in high school anymore.
Right.
That's one thing that we've gotten a lot better about here in Florida. And I'm pleased to say that, you know, maybe they needed it a little sooner in Miami. But, you know, the truth of the matter is Ron DeSantis is doing a fantastic job in countless ways. And one of them is the new introduction of teaching for grades 6 through 12 on the horrors of communism.
Good.
And that's extremely important to our large Cuban and Venezuelan populations here, who are very, very concerned about the direction of this country that looks so much like what they saw under Chavez and Maduro and Castro. That's going to be a big deal. That's something we need to take nationwide. But we need to do it state by state because we need to get rid of the Department of Education.
You know, Rod, the thing that's so troubling is it seems like in America we have voters that they think about voting for somebody almost like choosing a flavor of ice cream at Baskin Robbins. Oh, well, I went out on a limb and I tried Tutti Frutti. It wasn't very good. I'll just throw it away and get another one. Elections have consequences. You elect Zoran Mandami and you're going to suffer the consequences of that guy being in office. that as you and I might have talked about this, I know I've talked about it with others, you know, one term of that guy could do damage for decades.
Yeah, it absolutely could. And Mamdani is a strong mayor. He's got quite a bit of power in his position. And that is to be distinguished from Higgins in Miami. That's a weak mayor system. Most of the power resides either with that city council or, in most cases, with the county council. Most of the power in that area is actually in the Miami-Dade County government rather than the local city of Miami, which is a tiny fraction of the area. It's about 500,000 people, no question. That's big, but Greater Miami is 6.5 million. It's about 16% of Miami-Dade County. It's an even smaller percentage of that than Greater Miami. So there's definitely a limit to what a weak mayor in a very small part of a very large metro is able to do compared to the mayors of Chicago or L.A. or New York.
Right. Well, you know, I was Jenna Ellis sent me a note this morning, and she said Trump's approval rating is like, I think, at 41%. It's trending downward. And I was doing some research. Why are people upset at Trump? Cost of living is number one. Healthcare costs, you know, and they're saying food is too expensive. And that's where I think people have that knee jerk pendulum reaction. Well, I don't like what's going on here. Let's go with somebody else. How quickly they forget how expensive things were under Biden. Biden, who was, you know, the lights were on, but nobody was home. Trump is trying to do things to address, in my opinion, address those cost of living increases, but they're not immediate.
Well, we're making tremendous progress. We are already, for the first time in 5 years, seeing wage growth outpace price growth. And that's a really big deal. And we're seeing a glut forming in the oil markets. That's going to bring down gasoline tremendously. We're seeing a lot of big things that truly matter happen, but they aren't happening all at once. And people want it right now. So what we're seeing, I think, at the national level, and we'll come back to Miami, but at the national level, I think what we're seeing is exactly what we saw in the first 2 years of Reagan's time as president, in which you have this tremendous recession as a result of 4 years of Jimmy Carter's absolute madness on interest rates and inflation. And as Paul Volcker and Ronald Reagan started to slay inflation and get things on an even keel, you go through a short, difficult period, and the benefits don't kick in all at once. For Reagan, it didn't kick in time for the midterms, but I think for Trump, it will, because the things that we're going after are not nearly as bad in a number of economic respects as they were under Jimmy Carter, but also because what he's doing, bringing in $18 trillion in new investment, that's like two-thirds of the entire American economy just in new investment. And, you know, the tax cuts, the permanence that allows corporate planning, honestly, the tariffs help a lot. I know a lot of our more free market purist friends don't see it this way, but what they can't explain is how we had free trade before. We weren't charging the people outside, they were charging us. And you say, well, that's a tax on the consumer. Well, it's not a tax on me. I don't pay it. I buy American. But it doesn't change the fact that what it really does and what it's intended to do, and the reason most countries on this planet engage in tariff diplomacy, is that they actually benefit themselves by protecting domestic industry and harming ours. So, for example, Germany was charging us four times the tariff on American automobiles that we were charging on German automobiles. Four times. How do you compete? There's no way to meaningfully compete with that. So, of course, Ford and GM and even Tesla are doing more poorly in Germany than they ought to be. Well, the tariffs start leveling the playing field, and they incentivize our foreign partners to actually pull back on their tariffs. So I think we'll get to something that's a lot like free trade. But in the meantime, everybody's incentivized to build a factory here. And that's a game changer for jobs, for wages, and for a booming economy before the midterms.
Amen. Well, we're talking to Rod Martin, technology entrepreneur and political commentator. Rob's got great insight. Rod has great insights on things. And he says in his bio, he's also an anti-communist. Unless somebody were to accuse you of that, Rod. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And we're talking about tipping. Are we tipping in the wrong direction? President Trump said we're at a tipping point. And that was last week, and then it seems like some things have happened. So we're going to unpack that more when we come back from the break. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, talking to my friend Rod Martin, philosopher, capitalist, anti-communist, part of the team that started PayPal, and a technology entrepreneur and political commentator. Now, Rod, I want to play you this clip from Victor Davis Hanson, who has great insights on things. And he's basically saying the Democrats really have no answer to anything. So if you look to them, what do you have? This was his insightful comments on the Democrat Party.
They feel that they can create chaos. They can make people angry. They can bomb Tesla dealerships. They can shut down the government. They can stop ICE. They can tell soldiers to disobey orders. But that's a negative message. What is omitted? That's the committed message. But what is omitted? Do they say, here's my alternate plan for immigration? I want 1 million, 2 million, 3 million illegal. I want to go back to the Biden 2 million illegal aliens a year. I want nothing. Obamacare, here's how we're going to solve it so we don't need subsidies. A, B, C, nothing. Trump's health. Let's have an annual, we introduce legislation that every president has to have an annual physical every year, and everything has to be transparent. If that had been true, Biden would have been 25th Amendment the first year of his term. Do they have a crime initiative? Do they have a foreign policy initiative? Do they have any initiative? No. So what they try to do is A, create chaos. So we'll all lay down in the fetal position, say, please stop it. I don't want it. Or they're going to talk about affordability, affordability, affordability without ever mentioning it. That under their auspices, the DEI, the ESG, the Green New Deal. It was all regulate, restrict, slow down. And we had 21% inflation. We had low GDP. Do we want to go back to that? So they don't talk about it. So don't pay any attention to Epstein files, Obamacare, Trump's MRI, affordability. These are all just excuses for the absence of 51% on the issues and a lack of a systematic, comprehensive, alternate agenda that they can present.
All right, Rod, anything in what he said that you'd take issue with?
Oh, no. And I usually agree with him. He's usually spot on. The only thing I would say is that he is, in this limited clip, understating something I know he believes to be true, which is that this is the culmination of the so-called long march through the institutions. The left does this deliberately, and they've been laying the groundwork our entire lifetime. This is not a new thing. This is a culmination of a very old thing. And what is that thing? Well, the thing is to get people to think emotionally and thus lash out where they would normally reason and make good judgments. So we taught our kids for decades a postmodernist worldview in the schools and in the colleges. I mean, I was getting things that we would think of as critical race theory, which most people think happened for the first time in 2019. Mm-hmm. I was getting that stuff in college in the 80s. And we have trained people to think emotionally and ignore facts. The particular English literature seminar I'm thinking of, where we were dealing deeply with post-colonialism, was all premised on the idea that authorial intent does not matter. The only thing that matters is the subjective impression of the facts received on the hearer, that your truth is the only truth that matters to you, et cetera. Well, this is all an attack on rationality. This is all an attack on reason itself. And so as you build up a growing percentage of the population that just emotes rather than thinking, mm-hmm. you increasingly have people who are ready to be made angry over whatever, forget dog whistles, just outright blatant foolishness that you throw out there. You don't need a plan. You just right. need to convince them it's a good idea to burn it all down. And that's where a large segment of American society is. No sensible person, no reasoning person, no person with a moral base is going to go bomb a Tesla. That's just right. not what they're going to do. But if you can convince them that there is an oppressor class and anything we do to overthrow it is good, then eventually what you're going to do is you're going to overthrow that oppressor class. And the beneficiaries of that are the people who engineered this from the beginning. They are not going to create an egalitarian society. They're going to create a top-down totalitarian society. Mm-hmm. And honestly, they're increasingly clear about it. So this is the normal course of leftist revolutions throughout the world for the last 150 years, and we're seeing it come to fruition here, and we have to stop it.
Okay, Rod, when you see the religion of Islam and Muslims getting together with socialists, Mandami, for example, I told Ryan Halfenbein, who was on Friday, I said, I'm a lot more concerned about the guy being a Muslim than him being a socialist, because the real issue is, you know, I'm coming in and we're going to turn this city into, you know, Sharia law is going to govern that kind of direction. Not that that's going to happen tomorrow, but he's going to be influenced in that direction. How do those two get together between the Muslims and the progressives, the socialists, because they really don't have a lot in common other than they want to be in control?
Well, and that's the thing. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. So they are both out of power in America. They both want power in America. And the obstacle to that at this point is not each other. The obstacle to that is us. So they gang up on us together, and then they'll sort it out after the fact. And again, this is classic communist organizing. You see it in every country there has ever been a communist revolution or takeover. It's always this way. They create something that they call a national front or a popular front in most countries. They haven't done that here, but that's de facto what's happening. They create this national or popular front that's composed of all of the opposition parties. And none of those guys are big enough to do anything. That's what intersectionality and critical race theory and radical feminism and LGBTQ and transgender theory and all these different things are about, creating this vast number of atomized insurgencies, people who feel betrayed by everything, and they're constantly stoking that sense of betrayal so that they band together to overthrow the man. And then mm-hmm. once the man is gone, very predictably, the communists always win the struggle. Now, as it happens, there's a really glaring example of it going the other way, and that's Iran, where the Islamists beat out the communists. And as a result of that, you have the so-called Islamic Republic of Iran, which is one of the most oppressive systems in the history of humanity since 1979. So the Muslims think this is a good bet. They figure it's a free-for-all after the revolution, and they're going to win.
Mm-hmm. And the useful idiots that vote for this, I don't know who came up with the term useful idiots, but you
Lennon.
See them, huh?
Lennon.
Did? Yeah. You see them voting every election, and it's like, do you even understand what you're doing?
Well, and it's important to understand that they don't. You have in Lennon's conception, since you mentioned useful fools, in Lennon's conception, you have three groups of people. You have, first and foremost, party members. That's actual card-carrying leadership types who know the plan. And then, and that's a tiny group of people. There were only about 3,000 of those in all of Russia, a giant country, when the Bolsheviks, later called themselves the communists, took over in Russia in 1917. Then you have a second group called the fellow travelers. These are people who, to one degree or another, know why they're there, sometimes less, sometimes more, but they're in broad sympathy with the aims, at least the stated aims, not necessarily the underlying aims, of that party cadre at the top. And then you have this third vast group of people that Lenin called the useful fools or the useful idiots, people who were in sympathy with the propaganda line but didn't have a clue where this was going. Mm-hmm. And that's something we've been studying for, you know, two or three centuries now, in terms of, you see in the literature the idea of the mob. Which is to say, that mass of people in the streets when mm-hmm. you know, they stormed the Bastille during the French Revolution or whatever, that vast group of people who can be emotionally engaged to act violently against whoever happens to be in power without a really clear defined set of reasons why, right. Without a program for what to do next, but they just see whoever's in as evil. And that's why you see Trump demonized to this degree. Trump isn't doing anything that looks like Hitler. Trump isn't doing any of the things that are claimed. That's just absurd. But right. It doesn't matter, because if we can define him as evil, a lot of people will pick up on that line in a postmodernist mindset, and they will just act. And they will act in violence because they have lost the ability to reason.
Yes, that's so true. Well, when you see the man on the street interviews, like Trump is Hitler, Trump is a fascist, Trump, all those things that they say, and then the person presses and says, well, what has he done that is Hitler-esque or in a, you know, in league with fascism? Or they can't say anything. Oh, the list is too long to even express. It's like, well, name yeah. one. They can't name well, one well, thing.
Well, let's start here. You know, does Hitler cut taxes? No. Does Hitler slash 22 regulations for every one new one? No. You know, every single thing in a fascist, communist, or socialist system, and they're all just flavors of the same thing, everything is designed to centralize power. So they'll point at some random thing, like Humphrey's executor was argued before the Supreme Court on Monday. And by the way, those arguments went really well. I think we're going to get rid of something that was the cornerstone of the deep state for the last 90 years. The effect, though, is that the president will have power to fire people in the executive branch. Well, that's just Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution. Right. Were the founding fathers also fascists? And of course, the left would tell you, yes, they're just slave-owning totalitarians and blah, blah, blah. Well, that's nonsensical. That's ahistorical. But if you have people you haven't ever taught history or civics, they don't know that. So it's easy for them to buy the lie of the 1619 Project or the lies of Howard Zinn as true when their school teachers taught them those lies as fact. Anyway, bottom line here, you have a movement that is against centralized power. And Ketanji Jackson did a tremendous job of articulating the other side of this in her argument before the court. And it's a marvel that she's arguing before the court, because she's supposed to be the judge. But she's sitting there saying, presidents shouldn't have the power to fire experts. Presidents shouldn't have the power to fire PhDs and engineers and, you know, all these people with all these credentials. It's like, wait, are we a government by the people, of the people, and for the people? Are we a government of an aristocracy that you meant by giving people you like credentials and then saying they're untouchable? And that's actually been the ethos of the deep state for 90 years now, that you are too stupid to rule yourself. Elections shouldn't really matter. And there should be an expert class that just always happens to be Democrats. They're always from the same place that actually rule everything all the time. And that travesty of so-called independent agencies that got started with Humphrey's executor in 1935 is why when you have an election, it seems like nothing changes. Because in reality, nothing often does. The president is elected. The vice president is elected. The Congress is elected. That's 537 people. And then you've got about 5,000 political appointees. And then you've got 2.8 million untouchable, unfireable bureaucrats who just do whatever they say, whatever they want. And there's no accountability and nobody can fire them. So yes, FDR set up permanent Democrat rule to a pretty high degree in this country. The Supreme Court is systematically tearing that down, and they're calling that totalitarian when in fact it's the exact opposite.
Okay, Rod, one thing that bothers me, I have difficulty understanding this other than it's just deception, and we're coming up against a break, but if we're all on the ship called America, and if the ship sinks, because if we turn into Venezuela, this ship will be sinking and taken on. It will be the Titanic. It's just a matter of time before we're at the bottom. That doesn't help the liberals either. I mean, if the plane goes down, we all go down with it, even if you're in first class. How do they view that?
It depends on who you mean by the liberals. If you're talking about rank and file folks out here who just voted for Higgins in Miami, then yeah, their life's going to get worse. But they're not going to see it that way because they stuck it to the man. So, you know, obviously when things go badly under Higgins, it's the man's fault. Just like, you know, 7 years into Obama, anything that happened in the economy was still Bush's fault somehow. So that part is true. But for the elites, for the leaders, Hugo Chavez, you know, Nicolas Maduro, Fidel Castro, these guys won. They had a shrunken kingdom that they ruled absolutely. And this is just exactly what Satan says in Paradise Lost. You know, better to rule in hell than serve in heaven. Yeah. And that's exactly where socialism is coming from.
Yes. We're talking to Rod Martin. You're listening to Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We'll be right back after the break. Don't go away.
Candace talks about finding out she was pregnant. Thankfully, an ultrasound provided by Preborn allowed her to hear her baby's heartbeat.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
Preborn currently has clinics that do not have ultrasound machines. Would you consider a leadership gift and sponsor a machine today? These life-saving machines cost $15,000, more than most centers can afford. Your donation will save countless lives for years to come. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking to my friend Rod Martin, philosopher, capitalist, anti-communist, part of the team that started PayPal, technology entrepreneur, and political commentator. And you can follow Rod on X at Rod Martin. It's just Rod Martin?
Rod D. Martin, and they should come to rodmartin.org. They can get to my ex from there. And at rodmartin.org, we publish daily geopolitical commentary that an analysis that Fox Business calls absolutely phenomenal. So sign up for a free or premium membership at rodmartin.org.
Amen to that. Rod has great insights on things. Okay, so Rod, we're hearing a lot about fraud in Minnesota, not little nickel and dime stuff, fraud to the tune of billions of dollars, at least a billion, with the Somalis just robbing the coffers blind. Ilhan Omar, you had posted this, I think it was from Kevin Sorbo, but he had said, Ilhan Omar, the congresswoman from Somalia, I don't understand why she's a congresswoman, she's not from here, but anyway, $65K was her net worth in 2020, also in 2021, went up to $115K in 2022. In 2023, her net worth was listed at $205,000. And then lo and behold, in 2024, it went up to $30 million. It's not impossible for that to happen, but it sure sounds like there's something rotten in Denmark. Please comment.
It's a little hard to understand based on $178,000 a year government salary. That seems a bit excessive. Now, the story is that her husband is the head of a venture capital firm, and so they had a really good year. And that may be true. The question is why? You know, did they have a really good year because they made good investments, or did they have a really good year because they're insider trading based on information she has as a congresswoman? And that's what we've seen for decades now with Nancy Pelosi, who honestly has the best stock portfolio in the world. It's absolutely impossible that anybody could have the kind of returns the Pelosis have. And it's all channeled through her husband, Paul. So technically there's nothing wrong. Well, if he is trading on insider information, there's actually something wrong. But nobody's gone after that. And there's not a lot of point in trying to some degree, because she's in San Francisco. You couldn't get a prosecuting attorney in San Francisco to take the case. You couldn't get a grand jury to indict her. So she's basically untouchable. This is what happens when you corrupt the justice system and make it hyperpartisan. Justice just simply ceases to exist. So, you know, are we going to see an investigation of Ilhan Omar? Maybe, but probably only in the context of this broader fraud investigation that's unfolding in Minnesota, where honestly, the Minnesota taxpayer is turning out to be the biggest single funder of Somali terrorist groups, actual affiliates of Al-Qaeda. And Chris Rufo did a fantastic job of blowing the lid off of this in City Journal, I want to say on November 17th. Everybody should check that out. But it's just extraordinary the degree to which this has taken place. And part of that is Tim Walz is somewhere between crook and idiot. A lot of this is because we have created a concentration of Somali immigrants in a very small area, and they have taken political power. Now, what do you do with that? You know, immigration is legal, everything's fine. Well, we might want to look at where we're bringing immigrants from. Do we really want immigrants from places that are absolutely run by terrorists and who operate as an organized crime syndicate? Is that really a good idea for America? Shouldn't people who are brought into America share American values, actual basic belief in the ideas of the American system? We have absolute constitutional and legal control over that. We have chosen not to exercise it. I think we're seeing the degree to which that's a mistake. But what's certain is there's at least $1 billion in fraud in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and the walls are coming down.
Well, and that brings me to the next question. And Glenn Beck raised this just the other day. He said, well, where are the arrests? Tim Walz, I mean, can you just act like, well, I didn't know anything about this? I mean, it's on your watch. In business, if your area as a manager is a disaster and people are stealing, well, you're fired for that. It seems like in politics, and I know that Thomas Sowell brings this out, there's no responsibility. So I push for this policy or this, you know, this decision. It's a disaster. Obamacare, it's a disaster. And nobody pays the price for it other than the American citizens. Rod, when the founding fathers set up the government, was there not supposed to be responsibility for stupid decisions?
Well, of course. And of course, that's also why we have elections. But the founding fathers' view of elections was different than some of these people's today, in that they believed that people would have civic virtue, that they would be invested in the system, that they would care about right and wrong apart from partisan interest. They weren't idiots. They understood that partisan interest drives everything to some degree, but they also believed there would be some basic foundation of Christian morality. These are the children of the Great Awakening. These are people who had risked everything on what they considered to be right and on defeating what they considered to be wrong. They hoped to perpetuate that. And if you have that kind of electorate, you'll kick out corrupt people in both parties whenever you need to. Whether that can happen in Minnesota, I don't know at this point, but I don't think it's impossible. And I think we just have to keep coming back and teaching the truth, which is Kipling's point in the Gods of the Copybook headings, that, you know, the necessary result of all of this wickedness is disaster, and then reality reteaches morality over time, which isn't a lot different from the book of Judges. So, you know, I think that's where we are. And as to Tim Walz, I don't buy the whole he's just kind of a bumbling idiot thing. Tim Walz is as corrupt as the day is long. He has spent a career in bed with the communist Chinese. He is in a position where this fraud directly helps Democrats at every level. And this man, who could have been our vice president, could have been a heartbeat from the presidency, presided over it. No, I do not think that he's innocent of any of this, even by ignorance.
All right, let's talk about, Rod, immigration policies, because Trump is, when we talk about a 41% approval rating, many people point to cost of living, insurance costs, and then immigration. Seems like, you know, everybody, I say everybody, lots of people seem to jump on the Democrat talking points that we're throwing out these hardworking, wonderful neighbors that are contributing to society, and ICE just, we're not going after rapists and murderers and thugs, we're going after the person that works at the Mexican restaurant that has been there for 10 years. What's your take on how immigration is going under Donald Trump?
Well, it's going brilliantly. We've completely sealed the border. You know, you simply don't have migrant caravans coming every day. You don't have 10 million people coming illegally into the country, trafficking drugs and causing all these heinous problems that you did for 4 years under Joe Biden. So that's one. Two, we now actually have removed 2 million illegal aliens from the United States in just 10 months, which is extraordinary. And when the Democrats come back and say, well, but these people aren't all rapists and murderers. Well, but they're all illegal. All of them are illegal. Mm-hmm. None of them have a right to be here. And the law is plain as day. And a lot of those laws were passed by Democrats. So, you know, are they saying that Bill Clinton is an evil xenophobic racist now? I don't think they're going to do that. So, you know, these are necessary measures that the president is taking, and taking expeditiously and taking well. And you've got to expand capacity to deal with these people to be able to get through all of them. No question about it. That's why you have Alligator Alcatraz now. That's why you have Speedway Slammer, because you have to be able to get people into a location where you can process them through immigration courts. And if you can't, you're going to get rid of maybe 100,000 a year. So now we're moving into better territory. Part of that is self-deportation. We are giving anybody who will just turn themselves in a free plane ticket home and $1,000 cash. That's actually a pretty good deal. And if you don't turn yourself in, if we catch you, you're never allowed back in the country forever. If you do turn yourself in, you're allowed to get in line with all of the legal people and maybe come here to stay. So this is a much, much better system, and it is working. But you mentioned the Democrat talking points, and I want to give you one of the most egregious I've seen in a long time. We have been hearing now for 24 hours that Higgins in Miami, the new mayor, is the first Democrat to win the mayoralty down there in 30 years. Well, that's utterly absurd. I mean, we had Manny Diaz down there for all of the 2000s. His next stop was state chairman of the Democratic Party. You know, so some Democrat tells this lie, and most people, even in the media, aren't really following Miami politics. So they don't know better, and they just pick it up and run with it, and it sort of becomes true in the zeitgeist, but it isn't true. And we've got a lot of things like that that aren't true. An example, again, if we're talking about the southern border, you know, these strikes on Venezuelan narco-terrorist transshipments, where you're blowing up the speedboats, things that go nearly 60 miles an hour. Because, yeah, that's what you need when you're chasing fast fish, I guess. You know, and they have no fishing gear at all. The boats are completely full of cocaine. And somehow Donald Trump is committing a war crime. No, we actually created the U.S. Navy to go after pirates and smugglers. That's why we created it. And they didn't need an act of Congress when an individual sea captain found a pirate or a smuggler and blew him out of the water. That's absurd, and that's never been the law. And that's before you even get to modern laws having to do with designated foreign terrorist groups and the authorization of use of force. You know, there is no question that Donald Trump is on the most solid possible legal ground here, and yet the Democrats are ready to impeach him for doing something that Barack Obama did every day with cruise missiles and drones, including against U.S. citizens. So the talking points are dominant with people who emote rather than reason, and that's exactly why we've got to get control of education back. You're never really going to probably do that through the state. Homeschooling and private schooling is essential. We're going to have to reboot if we want to have the America that ought to be and that our founding fathers gave us.
Amen to that. Well, we've been talking about Band-Aids, and those are important Band-Aids. And just as we close out the program, and Rod, I know you'd agree with me on this, the deeper issue is 2 Chronicles 7:14. It's for Christians to pray, get right with God. And then God says, if we'll turn from our wicked ways, he'll hear from heaven, he'll forgive our sin, he'll heal our land. I've maintained for a long time, Rod, the problems are way deeper than any man, any political party can solve, even if your heart is in the right place. We have to see God change hearts and do that from the inside out.
Absolutely. I mean, there is no salvation apart from Christ, and there's no real change in anyone apart from regeneration. If you are not made new, if Christ does not make you a new creation, you're not really going to change your point of view. You're just going to get more consistent with your evil presuppositions over time. So, you know, this is the hardcore reality. Our biggest single issue is evangelism. And then our second biggest issue is discipleship of those who were evangelized, because they're just going to spin off. If they don't know how God orders the world and what he expects of them, they're just going to keep doing what they were doing a little bit nicer. So that's no good. So yes, the church is the centerpiece of all of this. At the same time, Band-Aids matter, because the truth is we have been waiting for the rapture for 2,000 years, and there's a decent chance that it won't happen in the next 2,000 seconds. So if there's any chance that my grandchildren might live some period of time before Christ returns, I need to make a better world.
Amen to that. Well, Rod, thank you so much for being my guest today. Always a pleasure, my brother. And share again how people can connect with you.
Come to rodmartin.org. We have tens of thousands of subscribers for daily geopolitical analysis. Fox Business calls absolutely phenomenal. And we've got another nearly 300,000 followers on X. There's a reason. So come to rodmartin.org.
Amen. Well, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And know this, God will use you as His witness. I'm Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and I'll be with you again tomorrow as we welcome Jim Cimbala to the program. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.